preaching a series of messages on being the church that people need. This is the fifth message in that series and the second part of last week's message, which is that we have to maintain our distinction if we're going to be the church that people need. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the church is referred to as the house of God, the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of truth. All of those speak loud and clear that there is a distinction between the Lord's church and the world, between the Lord's church and all other religious institutions. That distinction must be maintained at all times. This is so in the day of seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive churches, when the emphasis is upon giving people what they want, what is pleasing to their flesh, what is in line with their perceived needs, what is in line with their notions of God, whatever that might be. Presenting a message that is non-threatening to their present belief system. In other words, it's making everyone feel comfortable. The idea behind that is that if they like you, if you can be popular and desirable, then that will attract them and they'll be saved. But popularity has nothing to do with God saving a soul. Again, our duty is not to make the truth acceptable. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to declare it. Our responsibility is to sound it out. Our responsibility is to proclaim it. Our responsibility is to live it. That's our responsibility. Everything else is God's business. And if we're going to maintain that distinction, we have to at all times proclaim the truth, making no alterations whatsoever. Again, if your focus is upon pleasing man, then you're going to have to make alterations to the message. You're going to have to make adjustments. And when you begin to do that, when you make enough alterations and enough judgments, it soon ceases to be the message that people need. If it ceases to be the message that people need, the church ceases to be the church that people need. We want tonight to look at the book of John, chapter 6. We want to see Christ as our example in these things. In John, chapter 6, we like to read verses 60 through verse 69. John, chapter 6. Verses 60 through verse 69. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What then if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, or thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Leading up to these verses, there was the miraculous feeding of well over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. We read in verse 14 of John chapter 6 that those who had seen the miracle, those who had experienced the miracle, were now convinced that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that the Old Testament spoke of. And notice in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. We then read in verse 15, When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. When Jesus knew that these who had experienced this miracle would come and take him by force and make him a king. We read in verse 22, The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. So the following day of this miraculous feeding, the people gathered. They are looking for Jesus Christ, but he is nowhere to be found. This greatly perplexed them because on the previous evening, there was only one boat on that side of the sea. And they saw that the apostles get in that boat alone and depart. So where was Jesus? They concluded that he must have miraculously got to the other side. So this great multitude of people, again, he fed 5,000 men besides women and children. This great multitude of people make their way to the other side. And we see they are seeking for Jesus. Now, that does not mean that they are seeking salvation. It does not mean that they are seeking Christ as Savior. They had just experienced a miracle. And now they are seeking Jesus. Again, the whole seeker-sensitive movement. We have to appeal to the seeker. The question is, what are they seeking? What are they seeking? Many who say they are seeking Jesus do so for the wrong reasons, which we will see here. Just this morning, we had someone call. Didn't ask what we believed. They asked if we had activities. Then they asked if there was single women between the ages of 40 and 60. That's all they cared about. Seeking, but what were they seeking? And so it is today. So all this multitude, they're seeking Christ. And beginning with verse 26, Jesus begins to preach a message unto them. Now, did Jesus alter the message since these were seekers? Or did Jesus simply preach the truth. Verse 26 says, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. So we want to look at several things. In the verses that we read, we have the reaction of the people to the message of Christ. They are called disciples because they are seeking Christ. That doesn't mean that they are saved. And we see, first of all, the reaction of the majority to the message of Christ in this passage of Scripture. It was a reaction of intolerance. Notice verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples. We don't know how many of this group of over 5,000, but a huge multitude. We're now standing before Christ, and Christ has preached to them. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When they came to Christ, they heard something that they were not accustomed to hearing. They also heard something that they did not expect to hear. They thought the message of Christ was very difficult. They thought that it was quite puzzling. They found the message of Christ to be exhausting to their flesh. They found the message of Christ to be very harsh. This is a hard saying. They found it to be very stern. They found it to be demanding. They found it to be unpleasant. They found it to be uncomfortable. This is a message that caused them distress. And it was a message that was unbending. So they found the message of Christ to be intolerable. Did Jesus at any time in John chapter 6, He could see how the people were receiving the message. He could see the distress they were in hearing what he was saying. But did Jesus at any time alter the message? No. He just continued to deliver the truth. We see also it was a reaction of murmuring and grumbling. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, they began, when Jesus preached, they began to complain about what he was saying. They began to gripe about what he was saying, indicating, again, the fact that they murmured indicates that they're not happy. Happy people do not murmur. We see that they were murmuring. They were not happy. Again, Jesus has not gotten with the program of the seeker-sensitive movement. These people were not happy. They were not comfortable. They were not satisfied. In other words, the message was not to their liking. You murmur when something is not to your liking. This message was not to their liking. This message was distasteful to them. This message was unappealing to them. But again, the question is, did Jesus anywhere at any time alter the message? No, he never did. We see also it was a reaction of offense. Verse 61, the people are murmuring, and he said unto them, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. Let me try to present it a different way. Let me try to present it in a way where you won't be offended. He just asked him a question. Does this offend you? What I have said to you, does this offend you? When someone is offended, they are insulted. They have been insulted. And the truth that Jesus preached and taught here offended them. They were insulted. when you are offended, you feel that you have been wronged. These people felt that they had been wronged by the truth that Jesus had presented. Sometimes when you are offended, there may be outrage. There is resentment. This was how these people reacted to the truth of Jesus Christ. They were offended. All of this would lead to a withdrawal. Notice in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Walked no more with him. They didn't just go away. They stayed away. They never came back. They were offended at the truth that Jesus preached. And being offended, they withdrew. They found the message so difficult. They found it so unbearable. They found it so distasteful. They found it so unappealing. They were so insulted. They felt so wronged and outraged that they left. They left. In fact, we see the only ones remaining were 12. And one of them is lost. But they left. We see also, to what did they react this way? Has Jesus done something wrong that would cause them to react this way? To what did they react this way? Well, the reaction, of course, was to the preaching and the teaching of the truth. It was simply what Jesus said that caused this departure. Now, if a preacher today had thousands of people that he was preaching to, and no doubt there were thousands here, and by the time he got done with his message, there was only 12 left, that preacher would be looking for a different church. I guarantee it. He is an utter failure in the minds of most people. And that is why, again, it's not the seeker-sensitive churches that's the danger. It's that whole thought process. That whole thought process behind the whole movement. That's the danger. So they reacted this way to the truth. So what did he preach? What did Jesus preach that would cause such a strong reaction? Well, if we back up to John chapter 6, we see he began by telling them that the spiritual was more important than the material. That's where he began. Verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So he stressed spiritual things. Anything wrong with that? No, nothing wrong with that. But this was the reaction. He had preached and taught concerning himself. Verse 27 again, he says, the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He said in verse 29, on him whom he hath sent. He says, Jesus Christ is the one that God the Father has sealed. Jesus Christ is the one that God the Father has sent. This is the message that he's preaching. Verse 32, He says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Referring to, again, Jesus Christ. Verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So he is stressing the spiritual. He is also stressing the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 48, he again says, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. The message was a message about Jesus Christ. The message was this, I am more than a miracle worker. I am what you need. I am the bread of life. And if you tell people today that Jesus Christ is the one they need, he is the only one that can help him, that message is unbearable. That message is offensive to many. And many are going to leave. Just preaching Christ will cause many to leave. He also preached the sovereignty of God. He put God on the throne in his preaching, and he took the crown off of sinful man and put it upon the head of God. And they found that to be unbearable. They found that to be very painful. They found that to be very distasteful, very unappealing. They were insulted. They were wronged. They were outraged. They felt resentment and they left. We're told in verse 65 that he told them the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the spirit. I'm in verse 63. The spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. They couldn't take that. He was preaching the sovereignty of God. But he was also preaching, he's preaching Christ. He's preaching the sovereignty of God, but he also preaches the total depravity and the inability of man to save himself. Man doesn't mind hearing that he needs to be saved as long as you lead him to believe that he can save himself. What man gets upset about is that he can do nothing to save himself. That only Christ can save him. Now notice verse 44. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He's preaching the depravity of man. Again, he's preaching the sovereignty of God. So he presents man in the gutter of his depravity. He presents man in his, that he's dead in trespasses and sins, that he's depraved, that he's corrupt, that he's unable to rise up in his own strength and come to God. And you know what? That message didn't go over any better then and it does now. You still get the same response to that message today. He told them that the flesh profited nothing. He told them the truth about themselves. And you read through John chapter 6 and you see that Jesus spoke in very certain terms. He left no room for their beliefs. It's just simply what he said. And that's the way the Word of God is to be presented. It is to be preached in very certain terms, leaving no room for personal opinion. It just simply, this is what God has said. So they've heard this message, but this isn't what they came to hear. And there will be many, and there have been many, through the years of Home Baptist Church that have come in these doors, and they heard a message that they didn't come to hear. They heard a message that they did not expect to hear, and they left. And some of them you haven't seen since. They left simply because the truth was offensive to them. He preached that salvation was only in and through Jesus Christ. Notice verse 47. He said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Verse 49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Verse 51, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." He's telling them, "I am your only hope." Verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." In other words, you're damned, you're condemned without Jesus Christ. That offends people. People find that very, very offensive. So he's not preaching anything that is not true. He's not preaching anything that we don't preach today. He's preaching Jesus Christ. He's preaching the depravity of man. He's preaching that salvation is only in and through Christ. And people were offended. You can preach works, and that satisfies people. It satisfies people to believe, I have to do something to be saved. I mean, it's more satisfying to people if you tell them you have to crawl 20 miles on your hands and knees on broken glass. That will not offend them as much as telling them there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Now they're going to get offended. People don't mind hearing about works. They want to know that they can do something. You can preach baptism. Many have, and they've started their own denominations. So you can preach baptism, and that will not offend people. You can preach church membership. You can preach a social gospel, and people will applaud, and people will feel good. But you preach Jesus. You preach Jesus as the one and only way of salvation. And the majority of people find that message to be intolerable. He also preached and taught total commitment of those who knew Jesus Christ. Notice verse 57. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." That's commitment. He preached commitment. People don't want to hear anything about commitment today. They don't want to hear anything about surrender. That's unappealing to them. It's not what they want to hear. Their reaction was not only to the person, to the message of Jesus Christ. Their reaction was to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's always so, because it's his message. So you reject the message. You're not just rejecting the message, you're rejecting the person, Jesus Christ. Verse 66, it says again, "They went back and walked no more with him." He was the one that they were rejecting. Again, you cannot separate the message of the book from the person of Jesus Christ. So they deserted Christ. They relinquished all attendance upon his ministry. They disowned all attachment to his person. They threw off all his authority. They not only disregarded his teaching, they disregarded him. So why? Why did they act this way? Why was it that they acted this way? One reason is because they had a wrong perception of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 15. They desired to come, take him by force, and make him a king. In other words, they, before Jesus preached, they had this idea that they could do with Jesus Christ as they pleased. We want to make him a king, we will. And that's what folks believe today. As long as God, as long as Jesus Christ is somebody that they can do with what they please, they're not offended. They thought that they could fit him into their own little box. And as Jesus preached this message, they found out that Christ did not fit into what they thought. Christ did not fit into their perception. Christ did not fit into their plans. Christ was not somebody that they could control. Christ was not somebody that they could shape and mold. And therefore, they were offended. So offended that they left. They left. They also had a wrong motive for seeking Jesus Christ. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." They were blind to the spiritual significance of Jesus Christ. The only thing they saw, this man fed us. The only thing they saw was temporal. The only thing they saw was material. In other words, they were there to get something to satisfy their flesh. And when Jesus Christ did not satisfy their flesh, they were offended. When the message did not satisfy their flesh, they were offended. The whole seeker-sensitive movement. Satisfy the people. Satisfy the seekers. But these people, they were looking for something that would satisfy themselves. They were looking for something that would make them feel good about themselves. And they basically saw Jesus as a meal ticket for their physical needs. And when they found out that that wasn't the case, they were offended. They were offended. They wanted Jesus Christ to do something sensational. Feed us again. They wanted Jesus Christ to do something spectacular. They wanted something that would impress them. They wanted some excitement. Don't you think that that was an exciting time when Jesus fed well over 5,000? Certainly it was. And they wanted more of that. We want excitement. The message that Jesus preached didn't give them any of that. And they were offended. They were only interested in what they could get from Jesus without any concern for his glory, without any concern for his will. They wanted something from him, and they would set the terms. And when they found out that it didn't work that way, they were offended. They were opposed to the truth. That is another reason they were offended. They were opposed to the truth. They were opposed to the claims of Jesus Christ. They were disciples in name only. Verse 64. Notice verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. That's very poignant. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. In other words, all of these people, they had no personal relationship to Jesus Christ. They had no close association to Jesus Christ. They had a name, that's all they had. They had no close contact. They had no warm friendship with Jesus Christ. They had no kinship with him. And what happens when you present the truth and people have no relationship to Jesus Christ? They have no closeness to Jesus Christ. They have no personal contact with Jesus Christ. They leave. They leave. And that's what happened here. But you think about it. You cannot build a church upon the foundation of a people who has no relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care how happy the message makes them. If they have no relationship to Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Nothing. And that's what many are trying to build upon today. So what did Jesus do on this occasion? Again, in the beginning of the chapter, over 5,000 people are seen following Christ. They're listening to him. By the end of the chapter, there are only 12 left. And one of them is unsaved. In the eyes of the religious world, John chapter 6 is perhaps the most unsuccessful sermon ever preached in the history of man. You have thousands of people. Oh, what an opportunity, Pastor. You got to be careful now. You got thousands of people. Take advantage of this opportunity. He did. He preached the truth. And everybody left, with the exception of 12. Oh, what a failure. Oh, what a failure is how the religious world would look at this. But the Lord never failed in anything. The Lord was never unsuccessful in anything. I say to you that this was a successful message. It did exactly what Jesus intended it to do. Because Jesus never did anything that wasn't successful. What we have to realize, and we mentioned this before, sometimes the Lord uses preaching to weed out. He doesn't just use preaching to bring in. He uses preaching many times to weed out. Because wherever there's sheep, there's goats. Wherever there's wheat, there's tares. And you just keep preaching the truth. And the Lord has a way of weeding out. But what Jesus did not do, as these people, again, he could see that the people were upset as he was preaching. And when they left, but he did not change. He did not alter the message. He did not attempt to make it more desirable. Nor must we. We must simply preach the truth. He did not attempt tone it down. Well, maybe, Pastor, if you just tone it down a little, you can say the same thing, but just tone it down a little. Try to approach it from a different way. Is that what Jesus did? No. He just preached the truth. He just preached the truth. He did not seek to cater to those who found the message intolerable and offensive. You know what happens many times today? Is churches cater to those who find the message offensive more than they do to those who find it appealing. Well, something's wrong with that. Something is terribly wrong with that mindset. All of this, this whole chapter is a sharp rebuke to the whole seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive movement. Jesus did not attempt to build upon popularity. He had over 5,000 people following him. If he just would have toned it down a little, what a following he would have had in the eyes of the religious world. He wasn't interested in popularity. He was interested in presenting the truth. If you want a crowd, the seeker-sensitive movement model, it'll work. It'll work. If that's what you want, if a church wants a crowd, study the seeker-sensitive movement. It will work. It will get you a crowd. That's all you'll have. But if you want solid, sincere, mature followers of Christ, and if you want to be the church that people need, then you just keep holding on to the truth. And you keep on proclaiming the truth for His honor and for His glory, no matter how many people leave. You just preach the truth. When people find the message of the truth to be intolerable, when they find it to be unbearable, when they are offended by the truth of God, when they murmur, when they complain, when they grumble at the truth of God, don't cater to them. Don't apologize. Don't pamper them. But here's what you do. You keep on loving them. You keep on praying for them. And you keep on standing for the truth. You don't move one inch. And you just keep on praying that God would get a hold of their heart. So what did Jesus do after the masses left? He turned to the 12 and he said, "Will ye also go away?" This was a call to examination. Can you imagine what went through their minds as all these people left in a mass? So Jesus asked them a question that would cause them to examine themselves. And we see the answer that Peter gave. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Lord, we don't have any place else to go. And that's true today of those who believe the truth, those who practice the truth. Where are you going to go? If you leave Christ, where are you going to go? Think of all of those that you have seen get offended and leave Christ. Where are they now? Where are they now? They walk no more with Him. So I ask you tonight, if the truth offends you, and I know the vast majority of people here doesn't, but if the truth offends you, Christ is the only one. If you leave Him, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You're going to go down a road of destruction. My point is, we must maintain our distinction. And we do that, and one of the distinctives is truth. You cannot waver from truth. You stand for truth. No matter what it costs, you stand for truth. And that's the only way you can be the church that people need. People need the truth today. They don't need to be told a bunch of lies. They don't need to be told things just to make them feel good. They need to be told the truth. They will receive it or they will reject it. It's the only two things you can do. You will receive it or you would reject it. It's not our business, nor is it in our capability to cause them to receive it. That's God's business. Our business is stand for the truth. Preach the truth. There are fewer and fewer and fewer people all the time preaching truth. It is rare. It is rare. This is not mainstream. What we have here is not mainstream. This is rare. And people come in here and they hear things that they've never heard in their life. And they're shocked. Some come back because they want to see what the nuts are going to do next. What are these crazy people going to do next? So they come back. They come back out of curiosity sometimes. The Lord can save them. The Lord does bring them back. There are some who leave. You never see them again. But we can't get so sidetracked where we begin to think, well, we've got to keep them from leaving. Well, you keep them from leaving, you got to keep them, you got to do something to keep them to stay. And what you have to do to keep them to stay will cause you to cease to be the church that they need. You've now become the church they want, not the church they need. God help us that we would never be the church that people want, but the church that people need. Larry, if you come and leave.